Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Hi, you can hear me. That's good. Thank you. Please take a seat. So as Colin mentioned, my name is Karen. It's not Karen something or other fancy. It is Karen. I am married to Phil. We have two gorgeous boys, Xavier and Maxim, who are enjoying creche this morning. Hopefully Max is settled and he's not having a screaming fit. I'm so grateful to all the people who do help out in creche and the children's work because they love it. My kids absolutely love coming to church, and Xavier particularly loves creche and the children's work. So I'm a teacher. I work part-time in a primary school, and I really enjoy that. It has its challenges, but it's good fun. And I love being in the world. I love being in the workplace, making friends, meeting people from all different walks. And I love being mum, I love being wife, and I love just being able to kind of get to toddler groups, get to meet people, and yeah, just see what God does, and just kind of available to him for him to use me in whatever way that he wants. Now, you've been hearing several people talk over the previous weeks, over the course of the year, and okay, so I might be a new voice to you on the preaching rota, but I'm not coming to you with anything new this morning. I'm going to be repeating, echoing some of the things that have been communicated over previous weeks and months, because this is what God is saying. This is what's on God's heart. And he just wants to keep encouraging, keep reminding us, keep exhorting us to keep on track and to keep moving on in those things. You know, with God, you never kind of get there. There's a journey. We keep moving. We keep walking in relationship with him. Perhaps you're here for the first time today. And this is going to be, you know, you're not here by any chance. God's got you here for a reason. He's got plans and purposes to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And it is some divine thing, a divine something that has happened this morning for you to be here, to be listening to this word. So Father God, I just really want to pray. Lord, I thank you that you are good. I thank you that you are a good father. I thank you that you have good things in store for us. Lord, I thank you for your word of truth and your word of life. And I thank you that as it goes forth this morning, that truth and life are just going to bring much fruit as a result. So we give you praise and we give glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So you can be playing kind of bingo this morning, if you like. Preach it. Who preached it? Bingo. Kind of listening to what I'm saying. Say, oh yeah, I remember Simon preached on that a couple of weeks ago. Oh yeah, I think Pastor Colin mentioned that a couple of weeks before. Oh yeah, that was from Pastor Clive at the Vision Nights. If you hear any of those things, you know, you can clock yourself a point. But even better, if you are actually doing something with the thing that you heard, you can give yourself a bonus point. All right. So hopefully I'll be hearing ding, 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 ding as you clock up all these points as you play Preach It Bingo. Another thing that we could play this morning is, if I could have the first lot of slides up, please. Can we all give Simon a big woohoo? Hopefully the PowerPoint is working. Otherwise, here we go. Could I have the one, is the one with all three images at the same time? If not, we'll just do it this way. Okay, so I'm going to show you a couple of images right now, and you've got to kind of try and decide what's the link between all these things. So we have a mountain goat, otherwise known as an alpine ibex. It's not actually a mountain goat at all. It's an ibex. These creatures are quite amazing. They are able to scale near vertical walls. Right, they've been adaptation. Cleft hooves that are padded, and as they move down almost vertical walls, they're able to be really sure-footed, and they've got grip and what have you. Not something for me. I'm thankful that I have not kind of come alive as a goat, but they are just amazing. Not that we believe in reincarnation and all that stuff, but they're amazing. Okay, next slide, Simon, thanks. AC/DC. Goat. AC/DC. Australian brothers back in the 1970s formed a band, and they quite big in the 70s and the 80s with a number of hits. There we go. Next one, please. And the next one. And this is the G4 highway. This is a highway between, if I can remember, Beijing, Hong Kong and Macau. It is a 50-lane highway. This checkpoint reduces, and this is just going one way. Okay, so actually it would be 100 lanes if it was, you know, both lanes. This makes the M25 look like a lovely country lane or a cycle path, doesn't it? All right. So at this point, this is 50 lanes reducing down to 20 lanes, all trying to squeeze through that small gap. So we've got AC/DC, an ibex or a mountain goat, and the G4 highway. I wonder how they're all going to come together over the next half an hour through the course of my preach. Turn to the person next to you and tell them what you think. Any ideas? Any clues? What are the links?
I have got inside knowledge.
Okay, so we'll see who's going to be top of the class and who might have got the connections and the links there. Yeah, and you can add more to your bank. Okay, we're going to start with, here's a big clue for you. Matthew 7, 13 to 14 in the NIV. It reads, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." In the New Living Translation, it's been translated as, "You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult and only a few ever find it." So if we go back to our slide of the highway, that's all right, Simon. Many people are traveling through life on this highway. Okay? And if you haven't acknowledged Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are one of these people on this road, according to the Word of God. Many of our friends, many of our colleagues, many of our neighbors, spouses, children are traveling on this road, possibly a little bit quicker than some of these people in this queue right now. People are traveling through this highway of life in different kinds of vehicles. You might know of somebody, you yourself might be traveling in a people carrier, something that we're researching right now as we perhaps might multiply in the future, going from two to more, figuring out what kind of car we need in order to squeeze all the paraphernalia that comes with children. The pushchair, the boogie, the nappy bag, all the other bits and bobs, the pacifiers, whatever to keep them. But you might be traveling through life, or you know people traveling through life in this people carrier, rooftop box at the top, kids screaming in the background, snacks kind of fly, the kids are squabbling, what have you, DVDs playing. People are traveling, cruising through life with that going on. You might know people who are traveling through life on a motorcycle. Traveling through life on a motorcycle. They're the independents. They're the ones that are saying, "I don't need anybody. I live for myself. Quite happy on my own. Quite happy doing my own thing." Your points tally is just going like, emptied out. Quite happy on my own. Don't need any help. Thanks, Jack. That's the motorcyclist. Or perhaps I'm going to say moped riders. Slightly different to the motorcyclist on the Ducati Monsters. I actually know the name of my motorbike. Only one. On a moped. And these people are lonely. They're doing life on their own, but not because they want to. Just because that's the way that circumstances in life have happened, and they're finding themselves traveling with everybody else on this crazy highway of life on their own, but in the same direction with the same destination. That destination being destruction. Then you've got the people in a clapped out banger. If any of you have ever seen them on the back of kind of the tow trucks, perhaps they've been on a banger race or something like that, and there's pretty much just a shell, like a beaten shell. You can just about make out that it was once perhaps a car. Or, like me, my father is a mechanic, but when we were young, money was a little bit otherwise prioritized, shall we say, feeding children and paying the mortgage. And so he thought that it was fine because he knew what to do with cars to kind of get a cheap car and he could fix it if it went wrong. But quite often that going wrong would be halfway between my house and school, and my mum would be like, "We've broken down again on the on the dual carriageway." My poor mother. There was another time that we got dropped off at school, and as we were coming into the car park, it backfired. Big bang, and all the mothers were throwing their children on the floor because they thought there was somebody with a gun. And my mum was forever, like, sometimes we had a car, we had a different car, like, every few months. Sometimes it was a car with a different coloured side wing and a bumper hanging off, or sometimes it was, there was just, like, welding all over it, so it was kind of patterned. And that was, yeah, my childhood from a very small age with different kind of cars. But some people are travelling through life beaten, bashed. They've seen things. Perhaps things have been done to them in life, and it's been a challenge, and it's been hard. And that's how they're traveling on this same highway, going in the same direction, with the same destination, which is the destination which leads to destruction. Perhaps that's you in the room this morning, or perhaps that's many of the people that you know. Who do you work with that could be one of these people? Who do you live next door to that could be one of these people? Who's in your family? Who do you share a house with that could be one of these people? There are coach loads traveling on this road with the same ideologies, perhaps the same deception that they're living under. Coach loads of people, even more than this road represents. That was the biggest one. That's the world record for the biggest highway. That's the biggest that I could find. But in actual matter of fact, it would be like a million road highway. Okay? There are 5,000 households. It's not just one person. That's households of people that God has commissioned us to reach and to ensure that they get off this road. There's the same theme tune blasting out of everybody's radio. Or perhaps if they're on a push bike, I know they're not allowed on highways, but there are a few kind of pushing away on their little push bike because that's what they've got and they're doing life and it's such an effort, it's such a puff. They've got their headphones in. Again, if they're on a motorbike or a moped, they're going to have their headphones in too. I don't know if that's breaking the law, but they have. And this is the tune that's blasting out. Some of you might be like tapping and rocking, but believe me, it's not a fun place to end up. It's not a happy place to be going. And for some, the journey there is not fun either. For others, they're having a great time. They're rocking it out. They're having a party. They're having a blast. They're having fun on the road. But they have no idea where they're going. Two Thessalonians 1, verses 8-9. Says, those who refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus will be punished with eternal destruction forever, forever separated from the Lord and from his glorious power. Now that sounds, I'm sorry, all doom and gloom. However, you have to know the bad news. When the Apostle Paul was preaching, he would let people know the bad news. But he had to let people know the bad news in order for them to understand how awesome the good news is. So I'm not afraid right now letting you know about hell, letting you know about this path of destruction, because it enables you to understand how amazing this life that is available to us is. And whatever your eschatology is, whatever your theology is about hell and destruction and whatever that looks like and who it's for and when it will happen, let's just focus on the truth of the good, in that I would not want to live my life today or after I breathe my last breath away from the presence of God. We can't really comprehend a world or a place where good does not exist. I love God because he is good to the core. There is nothing bad about him. There's nothing evil about him. There's nothing horrible about him. There's nothing awful about him. He is perfect. He is true. He is reliable. He is faithful. He is holy. He is pure. He is love personified. He gives hope. He is perfect, perfect peace. And in his presence, we can experience the entirety of who he is. And it is not a promise for that moment after you breathe your last breath. This is something that can be lived today. This is something that we can experience from a moment by moment, day to day, week by week, month to month, year, that never ceases. And in fact, gets better as that relationship grows and deepens and we have a greater revelation and understanding of who he is. He is beyond our comprehension, that it's only a journey of discovery of day by day. We can't get to the end of him because he is just so massive and so awesome, but so perfectly good. And why would anybody not want to live in his presence, either today or for eternity? Those of us that have already made that decision to believe in Christ and to live with him, how awesome is that fact and how awesome is that truth? So when we die, we're waiting for judgment. There will be that final checkpoint, if you like. And on the day of judgment, we'll be asked to come before God. How that gets administrated, I have no idea. I don't know. I have no idea how that is all going to happen. But seeing as God is amazing, there will be some kind of administrative perfection happening on that particular day. And we will be called to give an account of how we spent the currency of our lives, how we spent the currency of our time, how we spent the currency of our money, how we spent the currency of our talents, of our thoughts, what we did behind closed door, or even with our heart attitudes. We will be called to give an account. And either we'll be told, visa given, enter into the kingdom of life, or visa denied. Unfortunately, you have to go another way. You're either going to be condemned as guilty or as not guilty. There's only two. It's very black and white in the kingdom of God. The sheep from the goats. The consequence, if you're guilty, is destruction, as the course of this highway showed us. But for the not guilty, it's the promise of eternal life and remaining in the presence of God. The charge, sin. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It means literally to miss the mark. So you might say, okay, so I'm not a murderer. I'm not a cheat. I've done good in my life. I tried to help people. I tried to do things that were good, what I thought to be good. Your self-justification doesn't count for anything. If you try and compare yourself with somebody else and say, well, I tried to do the right thing. I was good. I was kind. And believe me, I know lots of brilliantly kind and good people. However, sorry, there's lots of howevers today. I'm realizing that I'm repeating that word quite a lot. is it doesn't count for anything unless you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Saviour. By now, perhaps you're in this room and you're feeling a little bit uncomfortable. Perhaps you're feeling a little bit challenged. Perhaps you've got something in you that's going, I don't know, just some attitude towards me because of what I'm saying. That's normal. That's the flesh. It doesn't like truth. But I'm telling you the truth. You are in the driver's seat of your own life. God has given us free will. The Americans, to use an Americanism, they call quite a lot of their highways, they call them freeways. So if you like, let's use that word. It's a freeway. People have free will choice to remain on this road. You today have free will choice to remain on this road. The friends, your colleagues, your family members, they have that free will choice to remain on this road. However, we want them to make that choice for Christ. Small is the gate, narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Many of those few are going to be the 5,000 households that live in Horsham and the 25-mile radius. So let's get on with this good news then. John 10, verse 9. I remember this. I'm not very good at remembering scripture, hence the reason why I've had to write it all down. Some people can just quote scriptures like that. There was one scripture that I learned when I was in a holiday club when I was a kid, and I won a Mars bar for it. And it's like the only scripture that I can actually recount word for word. And it's John 10, verse 9. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved from eternal destruction. This is more than just a guarantee of not guilty on judgment day, but he is the one who's promised us to give us life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. It's Jesus that is the gate. And only through him can we reach that path of life, that path of eternal life. And that means that for some of you in the room this morning, you might be thinking, okay, I'm at that point where I realize I've got to make a transition from freeway to this pathway of life. But the only way that you can get there, some people try and get there through yoga. Some people try and get there through other experiences. The only way that you can transition from the highway or from this freeway that leads to destruction is by passing through Jesus to get to that pathway that leads to life. So we're going to take a moment now. We're going to not wait till the end. Let's stand up together. And for many of you, you've already made this confession. You've already made this commitment yourselves, which is great, and that's fine. We're going to do it together with anybody else in this room this morning who is wanting to do this for the first time, that you recognize, hang on a sec, I am on this highway to hell. I'm on this path of destruction. I don't want to stay there anymore. I'm exercising my free choice to transition from that path to the path of life. And I understand that the way that I do that is through Jesus. So, Father God, right now, we're just going to take Romans 10, verse 9. And I'm going to speak out, and I'd like you to all repeat with me. And if this is you for the first time, do it boldly. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. So let's do this together. I confess with my mouth.
I confess with my mouth.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
I believe in my heart.
I believe in my heart.
That God raised him from the dead.
And
that I will be saved. Turn to the person next to you and tell them what your confession is. That's going to be a personal response. I don't want you to say this to somebody if actually you're not there yet, but I want to challenge some of you this morning that might be saying this for the first time. Okay, sit down. Don't know if many of you travel with a sat-nav. We do when we're in France, and it's quite funny because she's got an English accent. We call her sat-nav Susie. She's got an English accent, and she's like, you're now approaching Villeneuve d'Ascq. You're almost at Calais. It's quite funny. But I'm your sat-nav this morning, and I'm saying to you, take the exit. Yeah, take the exit. Take the exit off this highway that leads to destruction through Christ onto this path of life. There's the second verse of that AC/DC song is, can't remember it now. It's gone out of my head, but, no speed limits. There's no speed limits. Nobody is going to stop me down. When I'm standing this morning in the gap, many of you in this room are going to be those that are like sat navs in people's lives. And you're saying, slow down. There's the exit. His name is Jesus. Get off the highway onto the path of life. Hence the reason why I'm adorning this beautiful jacket in season this year. Okay. You need to be visible. You need to make sure that the light of your life, Jesus in you, is shining brightly.
Amen.
So that people can see the exit. When there's a fire, quite often lights go off, etc. What happens? You can see the take the exit signs. People need to be able to look at our lives and know where the exit is. To get off this highway of destruction, they need help transitioning. Many of us pray, many of us hope, many have had this desire and motivation to see people come to Christ. But unless you are prepared to take your stand and wear your high-vis jacket, that transition for a lot of people is not going to take place. So I challenge you and exhort you every day in the spirit, put on your high-vis. All right? Make that transition to help people make that transition. Some of you today, I don't know if many of you have ever played Super Mario Kart. It's about the only console game that I was ever any good at. And I remember as a teenager spending a lot of time on Super Mario. Love it. It was one of the first versions, which was much easier. They've got far more complicated now. There's too many buttons and things, and I just kind of make it up and hope for the best. But on Super Mario Kart, you could be racing through this on this track, and there was one bit on one of the first levels where you could take a shortcut. And if you knew the secret of like that, you knew the skills, you could get quickly over the shortcut. But if you didn't, you'd end up on the gravel path. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Anyone remember it? You'd end up on the gravel path and you'd slow down. And the word of God says in Proverbs 4:25-27, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your eyes directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways which are firm. Keep your foot from evil. In some translation, it says, keep yourself from getting sidetracked. Some of you in the room this morning have found yourself in that gravel pit. You've tried to take a shortcut. You've done something. Maybe you've been nudged off by somebody else, or that's just kind of, you've kind of got disorientated and you find yourself stuck on a gravel pit. You've got sidetracked from the course. Maybe you're in a relationship right now, which is not healthy for you. And you've got stuck, or you're about to get stuck. I'm a teacher and I'm a mother, and that's kind of coming out. You're about to get stuck. Be careful. Perhaps you've made poor decisions financially and you just found yourself in a rut. Perhaps you've just found that life and its busyness and work and managing home and managing kids and managing everything else has just kind of robbed a little bit of that time with God, and that you've found yourself just kind of, you've ended up in a bit of a slow lane. For some of you, don't feel bad about that just because it's the season that you're in. God's still there. But for some of you, you've got stuck. But in this game, this cloud comes along with a fishing rod and picks you up and puts you back on course. And you might have a bit of ground to make up, but you can still win the race. You can still win the race, even though you might have had to get rescued. And God is here. And again, this is bingo moment. Simon's preached the other week, the Redeemer. God is Redeemer.
Amen.
And he can rescue you out of any mess that you have found yourself in. There is nothing too difficult for him. His arm, the guy in the cloud with the fishing rope, he's going to come down, rescue you, set you on course. But, however, you have to repent, acknowledge your need for him and repent of what you've done. That means to say, God, I'm so sorry. I've got myself in this mess. And believe me, I have done this many times. I'm not standing before you as some high and mighty person who knows it all. I'm learning through experience, let me tell you. But I know through experience that he is an awesome redeemer. Yes. And he is extending to you his fishing rod right now for you to grab hold of with that penitent, repentant heart. Maybe you've slept with someone that you regret. Sorry, that's the Holy Spirit right now. And you're like, how do I undo that? I feel so unworthy. I feel like I made a mistake. God is saying, if you're repentant of that right now, ask for my forgiveness and I'm going to restore you. I'm going to put you back on track so that you can still finish the race. I'd like you to stand up, please. If that is you right now, in fact, all of us in the room are just going to put our hands up. Because I don't want anyone to feel like anyone's looking at you or anything like that. We're just going to do it all together. And in your heart, just respond in your own way. I'm just going to lead us in a prayer. But I'd like you to kind of, whether you want to whisper that, articulate that in your own way. This is between you and God right now. Father God, I love you. Again, I thank you that you are an awesome redeemer. There is nothing too difficult for you to rescue us out of. And Father God, I repent right now. I recognize the error of my ways. I'm trying to take a shortcut, or I just did what I fancied doing. I gave in. I got sidetracked and I'm stuck and I need your help. Father, I just lay it all before you. I take hold of your redemptive hand, your mighty, strong arm. And I thank you that you rescue me and you're going to put me back on track. And I am going to finish the race to win it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Praise you, Lord God. Amen. Okay, take a seat. Thank you for working with me in this way. It just enables us to respond in the moment so you don't get kind of like, oh, yeah, what was it she said half an hour ago? Because she's still going on. that's none of you in the room, of course. If you're listening to the message even, have a moment right now to just say that prayer, to get back on track. The Holy Spirit will just be showing you that thing. Do you know what? That relationship, the way that you're spending money, what you're focusing, maybe it's an addiction. No, nothing is too difficult for God. Many of you will be familiar as a church. Oh, hang on. Wait a sec. We forgot our mountain goat. Mustn't forget the mountain goat. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He sets the secure on the heights and enables us to overcome. 2 Samuel 22, verse 34. And this pathway of life doesn't promise to be easy. It's exciting and adventurous. If it was easy, it would be boring. Who agrees? Yeah? This is exhilarating. It is fun. There are curves, there are challenges, there are heights to climb. But there are rewards for those who diligently seek him, who diligently stay on this path of life. And the great thing is you don't have to do this alone. Yeah? In this Super Mario game, you can get like loads of the cheats, but you can collect as you go along. You collect rewards. You collect things that enable you to use in order to do better or to beat your opponents as you go along. And it's a little bit like that with this path of life. As you go along, you'll be collecting things that you can put in your arsenal to help you do even better, to overcome your enemies, to overcome your opponents, and to finish the race strong to win. And he makes our feet like the deer. We don't have to do that ourselves. All we have to do is make sure we stay fueled. If you drive a Tesla, that means you stay plugged in. Somehow. All the time. Okay? You stay fueled. You stay fueled through the word. Hopefully, many of you, all of you, in fact, are doing the SOAP, whether you're doing the SOAP through the Kingdom Faith thing where we're reading through Exodus, and I believe it's, I read it this morning, Corinthians at the moment. And that means that you're just keeping yourself topped up, the things that keep you on the front foot, to fuel you, to energize you, to give you faith to overcome and keep going strong. That's relationship, fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, hanging out together. If you're not in a small group, get in a small group. You can find out about small groups and what's going on when at the info point at the back. They'll have kind of a leaflet that lets you know what's happening. And that will enable you to share life together, to encourage one another, so that you're not going through life, even on this pathway of life, on a motorbike. Yeah. Yeah. God doesn't want us all to be riding motorbikes. Sorry, darling. It's a people carrier for you, I think, isn't it? Probably a slightly clapped out one after I've been driving it. But yeah, he wants us to be on coaches with each other, going through life together, encouraging each other, helping each other, building faith in one another so that we don't get sidetracked, so that we don't get stuck, so that we don't slow down, but that we go on together to win the race together. And the job of the church, okay, if you take this jacket now from Hi-Vis, because I'm showing you where the exit is to, I work on a construction site, on a road. Rich, you probably know all about this. Should be wearing my my hard hat right now. But the job of the church, Isaiah 57:14 says, build up, prepare the road, remove the obstacles out of the way of my people. Isaiah 62 says, pass through the gates, this gate of life, Jesus, doing prayer and also being ready to be used by God. If we just quickly go to Isaiah 62, because there's more to it that I just want you to get. Yeah, prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Remove the stones and raise a banner for the nations. So we've been commissioned as a church to pray for the nations. But let's start with our household. Let's start with our street. Let's start with our town, our 25-mile radius, our nation, the nations. Okay, I'm going to start biting what I can manage before I take off more than I can chew. And that is to pray for the ones that we love, to pray, to remove these roadblocks. Clocking up your points right now, Cluster Cliverzum. Remove these roadblocks out of the way of people. Roadblocks of pride. Roadblocks of deception. Roadblocks of unbelief. Roadblocks of fear. Roadblocks of whatever it is the Holy Spirit reveals to you to remove out of the way of these people so that they can pass through the gates and come into their inheritance, to come onto this pathway of life. And you've got loads of opportunity to do that. One of my roles within the church is to work with Jugbeer, Annie, Jen Sainsbury as a prayer coordinator for our congregation. And it is just our heart for us all to come more fully as mature believers into this responsibility as those who wear our Hi-Vis vests to pray to see people saved, to see these things moved. And you've got plenty of opportunity to do that at Impact Prayers, which happen at the first Wednesday of every month. And it's not convenient for me to come to those. For many of you, you might have excuses why you don't. You might not be in the country, fair enough, okay? But I finish work on, I work on a Wednesday, I finish work, I scoot home from work, literally it's like tea time or bath time or putting kids to bedtime at that point. I kiss my kids to sleep, to go to sleep and come. I haven't eaten. I haven't stopped all day since probably like 5:30 in the morning after we get our little lovely little woken up. And it's not convenient. And quite often the enemy will attack that time and throw things in your way. And you're like, oh, do I really? But it's powerful. Yeah, to see this shift and to see these sways from this highway of destruction shift course onto the path of life. The first week of each month, you can sign up to pray. Come along, find out who's praying when and get together with someone. If you're like me, I actually find it easier to pray with people. We get together with Little Builders team on the first Wednesday of every month. We pray for the mums that come. Yeah, so get praying if you're not already. One last thing, Isaiah 58 says, when you fast, believe that your light will shine forth. That's a way, and that's a subject for another occasion, that's a way of you just kind of saying, God, I'm plugging in. I'm going to see breakthrough on behalf of other people. But by some divine mystery, you enable my light to shine to others. And I'm seeing evidence of that, not to blow my own trumpet in that, but to encourage you. Like the less I seem to do, and I just obey the word of God, God is starting to have people ask me questions, or I'm having these setups with neighbours and opportunities to talk to them where they're seeing the light and they're after more. They're like moths coming to the light. Live in that place. Let's stand together. And I'd like you to kind of symbolically, if you like, right now, put on your high-vis vest. Father God, I want to thank you that you're a good encourager, that you don't beat us and you don't kind of make us feel like we're falling short, but that you always lead us just in such a wonderful, encouraging way. And that you exhort us. And Lord God, I thank you that you've given us this commission to co-labor with you, to partner with you. And Lord God, right now, we just want to pray, just represent to him any person that you're praying for right now. Just say, Lord, just utter the name of somebody that you're praying for to see saved before him right now. And then start to stand up and just pray that any boulder, any obstacle of unbelief. So Lord God, right now, I'm just lifting up my dad and my brother to you. You can just pray aloud as I'm praying. Lord God, I lift these people to you and I take authority over every unbelief, every pride, everything which at the moment is standing in opposition to the truth and the reality that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is the way, the truth and the life. And I uproot those obstacles right now. I remove them out of their way and I enable them and I open it up a way for them to enter through the gates, through Jesus into eternal life, onto that pathway of life. So Lord, I thank you that you're just going to be encouraging us all, enthusing us all, convicting us all, Lord God, to just get in there in prayer, to see the harvest, to see these 5,000 plus households come to know you, the one who is good, who is kind, who is loving, who is faithful, who is wonderful. Lord, we love you and thank you. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.